is going to be about personal favoritism. Well, I think maybe some of your Bibles might be using the word partiality. So what's personal favoritism? It's an inclination to favor one thing or the other, to like something and to dislike something else. And if I were to give an example of favoritism, I'm going to take you back to the early, 20th century. Back when the U.S. experienced more racism, racism's alive and well today, but racism was much worse back then. So I don't know, you guys probably in the school system have already learned that black people had it pretty bad. Even after slavery was abolished, we had all sorts of laws to oppress them and things like that. So Rosa Parks is a name you guys probably remember hearing in school, yeah? So the story about Rosa Parks is, back then, seating in buses was segregated. And not only just buses, but schools that you went to were segregated, meaning that blacks went to a certain school, whites went to a certain school. Even the fountains in the park were segregated. There's a fountain specifically for white people to drink at, and there's a fountain specifically for black people to drink at. But buses for sure were segregated. So there was one day when this woman with Rosa Parks was on the bus. And how they separate the bus is that there's a little sign that they put up in the middle of the bus that says, this front side is for the white people and the back side is for the black people. And what they would do is if more white people would come on, what they would do is they'd move that sign further and further back so that more white people would have places to sit. So one day the Rosa Parks was on the bus and the more white people got on the bus, so the bus driver was like telling Rosa Parks, you four, and there was three other people with her, need to move back for the white people to sit. And she said no, and you guys know the story. She became a civil rights activist, and that's why she's famous. You learn about her in school. But the reason I'm talking about this is because personal favoritism and partiality sound like really nice words. Like, they don't sound that bad to us nowadays, but an uglier word for it would be discrimination. And so that's the kind of story we have here in the Bible we just read. So a rich man and a poor man come into a meeting, and the person looks at the nice rich person and says, all right, well, I'm going to treat you honorably and give you a good seat. And for the person who is poor, instead of showing him honor, I'm going to dishonor him by telling him to stand or actually to sit down by my feet. And this sounds ridiculous. Why is God asking us to do, why is God pointing this out? Because we do this. It might be silly for us to look at, white people in the early 20th century, or I guess if you consider the context of the passage, the first century Christians, but do we do this? Are we guilty of this? It might not be based on, ethnicity or the color of your skin, but it might be based on other things. Are we partial to other people, or do we discriminate our peers by how they dress? You guys who are in high school, maybe, do you see discrimination on how good certain people's grades are? Maybe how popular a person is? If they appear cool or not. But it's clear in the Bible that we just read that God says for us not to discriminate, not to show partiality. Because it's wrong for us to dishonor those who are less or poor in our sight. So consider yourselves for a moment. Think about the tone in which you speak to other people or the attitude which you show them. I see it a lot. Even in our youth group. We're a small youth group, but I see it. Talking down to people you think are maybe not as smart as you. Or maybe they don't, not as cool, don't dress a certain way. It happens a lot in high school, I know that for sure. So, why does God command us not to be partial, or not to discriminate? It's actually really important when God gives you a commandment to ask why. Because often wine will reveal to you some characteristic about God or something more about him. He doesn't just tell you why for the sake of not doing it. He doesn't tell you don't do this for no reason. It's because it's an extension of his character. So as Christians, we reflect our Heavenly Father. And since God is not partial, therefore we should not be partial. Whenever you look at a commandment that God gives, try to understand that it's an extension of his character. God says, do not lie, because God is a God of truth. God says, do not hate others, because God is a God of love and compassion. Therefore, when he says, do not be partial, it's because God is not partial. God does not show favoritism. God does not discriminate. So we are trying to imitate our Heavenly Father. We're trying to imitate Christ. And so what happens when we show partiality is that we reflect poorly on Jesus Christ. Have you ever, real Christians are supposed to act like real Christians all the time. And the reason being is because people, not only because God is watching and we do it to honor and glorify him, but that other people are watching. So, in your group of friends, or maybe in school, or outside of church, do people see Jesus in you? In the way that you talk, in the way you carry yourselves, in the way that you treat others? Are the things that you say and do, are they glorifying to God? Or are they bringing, are they giving people reason to blaspheme him? Like, do you remember the story of David after he committed adultery with Bathsheba? Is that Nathan came to him and said specifically, the people blaspheme God because of you, because of what you did. So when we're outside in public, and especially in private, because Christians behave like Christians all the time, is that be aware of how you're reflecting upon not only yourself and your parents, but most importantly upon God. Do you guys think about that? And everything you say, whether in word or deed, do unto the name of Jesus Christ. I searched my own heart this week to try to think, like, do I do this? Am I guilty of this? And the thing I came up with was, thankfully, right now, I'm not guilty of it. That I could find, or that as I prayed, God did not bring anything towards me for it. But I thought back about when I was in high school, when I was your guys' age. And then I was very guilty of it. Before I was a Christian, but I can remember being a person who discriminated a lot. And it's quite ironic, because I was I'm Vietnamese, and I hang out with a group of Koreans, so no one here went to Robinson, right? You went to Robinson? Subschool 12 at Robinson is supposed to be the Korean hangout wall. So all the Koreans get there and hang out. And there would be a few stragglers like us who weren't Korean, but we'd hang out with them. And I can remember, it's funny, because in almost every setting where there was a lot of Asians, there's always one white guy who hangs out with the Asians. Not only hangs out, but he dresses like them. He, acts like them. He even starts to talk with like the kind of fathish accent. You start hearing their accent change, where they start incorporating, the way that Asian people talk, specifically fathers. But it's funny, because I can remember there was one guy who did that with me and my cousin and the people we hung out with. And I can remember myself being not so very nice to him. It's not like I was outwardly mean, like I didn't try to pick on him and things like that, but I would see my tone, and I would check my attitude towards him. When I would look at him, I would think, like, why is he doing this? And he's not even Asian, right? He's pretending to have an accent. That's silly. That's the opposite of what people usually try to do. But it's ironic, because I was Vietnamese, hanging out with a group of Koreans, and I was experiencing that kind of discrimination as well. People would single me out and to be like making fun of me, making faux jokes. you know, just being like, they could pick on me anytime I want, they wanted, because I was the only Vietnamese guy a lot of the time. And so they can pick on me with impunity, because they can make fun of Vietnamese people all they want, but I can't step up and make fun of Koreans because I was in a sea of them. And I'm asking you guys, I'm telling you the story because I searched my heart this week to see if I was guilty of this. Now I'm going to have to ask you guys, and the Word of God is asking you guys to search your hearts. And are you behaving this way? Do you segregate or discriminate based on, if you think a person's cool or not? It happens all the time. It happens here. I see it. And so, I wanted to move on to another reason why God asks us not to be partial and to not discriminate, is because God as creator loves all of his creation. God loves all of his creation. The Christian, the non-Christian, the elect, the non-elect. He does not show partiality towards his creation. I remember a passage that speaks this well to me was the passage of Cain and Abel. Right? Abel was the worshiper of God. He gave God his best, and Cain did not. And when Cain was all sad, and God comes up and says, "Cain, why is your countenance down? For if you do well, will your countenance not be lifted?" When we think about it, it's like you have to accept the fact that God does love everyone. And it's perfectly displayed in the cross. When Jesus was being crucified, do you remember what he was doing? He was praying for those who were crucifying him. "God, forgive them, for they know not what they do." And so for us as Christians, in light of God loving everyone, do we love everyone? Do we love the Christian and the non-Christian? Do we love our friends as well as we love our enemies? You know, do we show acceptance and love towards, you know, this is a top topic in the church, homosexuals? Or are we discriminating against them? Just something for you guys to reflect on your own time, is that we don't get up here to preach the word simply so you can know it, but so that if by chance I'm speaking God's word and God is tapping you on your heart, that God is speaking softly and quietly to you, that you would have a chance to repent. We all know that what the golden rule is, yeah? You guys remember that passage in the Bible that's famous? "Do unto others as they would do unto you." That's enough already for us to why we shouldn't show partiality. But just try to remember, God is the creator, the father of all. And so when you despise his son or his daughter, how do you think he reacts? Think about Pastor Sam. If you were to pick on his kid, if you were to, you know, discriminate or try to put him down or anything like that, Pastor Sam would go wild. He would go buck wild. There's nothing like a father's love for his child. Or, you know, if Peggy was here, mother's love for her child, that God would defend, and God would be royally angry if you were to do that to his child, elect or non-elect. But here's the last thing I wanted to bring to us regarding partiality. And it's possibly the most important thing, depending on where you are in your walk with God right now, is that some of us have been hurt by favoritism. Some of us have been hurt by partiality, have been hurt by discrimination. Maybe by your parents, maybe by your peers. But it's really important for you to know that God does not love you less than blank. God does not love you less than the next person. God does not love you less than the Christian sitting next to you. You know, God gives you the greatest gift, which is salvation and the gift of relationship with Him. But also, He is able to love you as a father. You know, a father gives good gifts to his children. So for those of you who are struggling with whether or not you are loved by God, or you know how much maybe you're struggling with, maybe you don't think God loves you like He loves a certain other person, I just want to remind you guys to stop comparing yourselves to others. If you were to open up your eyes, you would definitely see that God loves you just as much as you know, the next super Christian out there, or Pastor Sam, or you know, Peter and Valerie who we worship for us. You know. And even myself, God loves you just as much. And you guys remember a little while back, I told you guys to make a list of the blessings God gives you in order to just reflect on how much God loves you, how good God is. I'm not sure how many people did that, but I'm giving you a reminder again. If you struggle with the idea that God loves you or how much God loves you, try to do this. Make this list. And then you will find yourself to be thankful and joyful and loved when you're done. So open up your eyes to see these things. It's not only in the Word, like Elijah being sent to the widow during the 10-year drought to provide food for her, or, you know, King David, who is the shepherd boy, who when Samuel came to look for the new king, that his dad didn't even call him in. He was not loved any less than his other brothers by God. In fact, God loved him and chose him to be the king. You know, and I just want to leave you with, unless you're able to see these things in your own life, if you're able to see, you know, communicate with God in prayer to receive these things, it's going to be a little bit difficult. So I'm just going to leave you a little story of myself. Is that early in college when God told me, I want you in ministry, I was thinking like, it's going to be really difficult. As you can see with Pastor Sam, that pastors don't make any money. Pastors are poor beyond poor, because not only do you have to, you don't make any money, but you actually pay a school in order to not make money. So when I'm done, I'll be about 40 grand in the hole. And I'll probably be making something like between 15 and 25 grand a year. So, but God always made this promise to me, and this is how I know that He loves me. For it was a kind of a silly thing for me to hear God, but once you get to a certain level, you'll hear God not just in prayer, but you'll hear Him all the time. And so in one particular instance, I was studying for tests, and I was like getting pretty hungry, but money was getting thin. And so I was thinking about, man, I'm really hungry here. And then one of my housemates comes in and brings like her leftover Chinese food. And she gave it to me. And I was like, this is not even like, you barely touched this thing. And she just wanted to give it to me just to bless me. And so when she left and I was eating it, I could remember God speaking to me right at that point saying like, look, you're not going to have money, but I will provide for you. And it has been true ever since. When I was doing ministry at Mary Washington, I did it for about 3 years. I was bouncing house to house because there was like, you know, they had the church house, but then the church couldn't pay for it anymore, so they had to sell it, and then I had to move elsewhere. But I was never short on food. I never didn't have a place to stay. And something even more recent is that, I don't know if some of you guys have heard, but my dad was in a huge, huge accident yesterday. It was so bad, it looked like a movie scene. It was that bad. But even at that point, I could hear God and how he loves us, that my dad walked away just fine. If you saw the pictures from the accident, you would have been like, man, someone probably got really hurt. But my dad walked away just fine. And I know that not only did God show love to my dad in that fact, but he was also showing love to me, and especially my mom. Especially my mom, because she prays for him all the time because she loves him, but also I can't imagine her without my dad. So my dad walked away just fine. And so I'm just going to leave you guys with that, is that for those who are struggling, does God love me? Pray. Make that list I talked about. Try to hear God's still small voice. And you will find that God does love you just as much as everyone else. Not only did he give his son, but he gives you other things that are good. So let me wrap up in prayer.